So guys, Scale Up Show, what is it? Episode 7? 8?
7. Yeah.
About stress.
Yeah, I mean, big word.
Yes.
Stress. Very big word.
And I learned from Jeff Bezos that stress primarily comes from not taking action over something that you can have some control over. And I think that's almost exactly what it is.
Yeah. It makes sense as well, right, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, the worst thing is when you know you got to do something, and you're just putting it off constantly. I think that's what causes a lot of stress, because you know, okay, there's something that you need to get done by a specific amount of time or by a certain deadline. And because you're not doing it, because you're putting it off, that for me, at least that for me, that's what causes a lot of stress.
Yes, and I think that as some extra thing is, for example, for e-commerce owners, what I see, they have also a lot of stress because they think they have control over all the numbers,
yeah,
but they actually don't. So, at the end of the year, their accountant says, oh, it looks nice, your revenue, but the profit was maybe not so high as you expected. And that's also the constant in their mind thinking, okay, I have everything. I have my Google Analytics, I have my Shopify dashboard, but it's not always configured well. So they don't have all data inside, and that gives them also stress because they never 100% know, okay, where's my traffic come from? What's my most important traffic source? What's my most important product, for example? They're missing some data. And that's also what I think was some stress coming from.
I mean, I think it just comes kind of together with, you know, with the quote you said from Bezos as well. Like, I think stress needs to just, the word itself, kind of just split it up. So think of, look, for example, procrastination, I think something kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, a lot of people know they have procrastination, but I think then the stress kicks in. And if you know you're doing it and you kind of know you're working towards something that's not happening right now.
Yeah.
And that's where then kind of control comes in. I think it's super important that you do realize, with the example you just gave, what can I control and what can't I control? Because people, in my opinion, always kind of feel like they try to control the uncontrollable and they do not control what is controllable.
Yeah, yes. And what you see with people making to-do lists, action lists, and then they have too much things on their to-do list.
Yeah.
I make also that mistake too much times. Mostly can only do 3 really good things a day.
And that's why you always see, you know, why the big CEOs, like, they always say, oh, we only take 3-4 meetings a day. And it is not just because they become lazy or they need more free time. It's that they realize, okay, I have such a time span a day where I can have full commitment.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put that time into the stuff that is controllable, where impact is needed. And then the rest kind of comes there. And I think that's also where, like, delegation, stuff like that comes into play. Because then that's basically what will allow you to get to that point.
Yes, and don't make everything too perfect. And what I see in my agency is that sometimes my customers want to make it too perfect, and I think, okay, but yeah, you can make it too perfect, and we need to wait a week longer to get it done, or just send it out now and get results.
Eric Rice, the Lean Startup. I mean, I think it says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you need to make decisions there pretty quickly, and then you can actually think you have to reframe a little bit also your mindset as well. Which is just something that either, I guess some people are lucky to have it from the start. Because I definitely feel like it is something you can learn yourself. Obviously, it's never going to be perfect. You can't wake up every day feeling you can control every point. You know, I think stress is, in my opinion, it's healthy. It's always something that helps you to, you know, kind of kick you on the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, and you have maybe some tools maybe can who can help you to get your planning done. Because it's mostly planning. Yeah? If you have a really good daily schedule, for example, for yourself with the most important things, and maybe a weekly schedule, it's much easier to get control over all the things you need to do. But as an online entrepreneur, you have to do so many things, the social media part, but also the business part. And
I think that's where kind of, you know, the, you know, funny, like kind of the IPAs come in, the income producing activities, not your beer, but your income producing activities. And it's like, you know, that's kind of like, if you know what they are, then that's where you can kind of put your time in and then build around that.
Yeah. I think there's like a problem written down is a problem halved as well, right? So that's why I know there's a lot of tools out there like Notion, there's templates and stuff like that, but I still write my to-do list like physically pen on paper. And it, obviously because it's paper, like there's only so many things you can actually write down before the page is filled, which also makes me prioritize, okay, like what things do I actually want to get done this particular day? What things actually need to be done, because there's a difference between things that I want to get done and things that actually need to be done. That's obviously the income producing activities obviously need to be prioritized. And then, just making sure that there's only a specific amount of things that you focus on each day. And then everything else will either be automated, delegated, or eliminated if it's not important.
Yes, yes, and there's no tool what will fix your to-dos, right? It's only a schedule or a list or whatever, and you need to use the tool what you like the most, what's easy to use, if it's pen and paper or I have Momentum in my Chrome browser.
Oh yeah,
and I'm trying Akiflow at the moment. It's quite an amazing tool because that's also the first to-do list. What I saw was also after the day, he said, okay, did you do this. And it gives you an overview. It gives satisfactions for yourself. Okay, I did a lot today, for example. Mm-hmm. Most to-do lists, you click it away and then it's gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a skill. Like, I think planning itself is this viable skill everyone should really hone in, and something you should continuously, you know, try to work on. Because I always feel like people think they know how to plan because they have an agenda, but the majority don't have a damn clue. And that's where it kind of goes wrong, you know. And I think it's like, because you kind of have to have the conversation today. It's like, oh yeah, we want to change this and this because I don't know, the revenue is not doing well in this country. But then the next day, when you were going to commit to the plan, all of a sudden already doing something else because something else came on their schedule. And like subconsciously, if you go and you recognize you're doing those things, which there's going to be a lot of people who do so. Like, you can sit here right now and say to yourself, oh yeah, I'm good at planning, but I can guarantee you're going to write something down today. You wake up tomorrow and never look at it again. I think that's where you kind of need, you know, where I think I always like the funny thing where I make the distinction between is if you look at golf. Because if you go and try to hit the golf ball, it all comes down to small things in your brain so that you do the same swing, you have your hand placement. And this is with things here as well. Like, you need those mind triggers that help you to remind you to do this and do that.
Yes, yes, yes. This, what you're saying is super easy to fill your calendar with a lot of things to do, but you need to actually do it. And that's the biggest problem. Mm-hmm. That's something by myself, that I too much things on one day, for example.
Yeah.
I now focus only to 3 items in my schedule and to get it done and then add the extra ones.
I mean, daily habits, like small wins.
Yeah.
Start with that. You know, like, don't go and say now, okay, boom, tomorrow I'm going to do 5 things. Just write down one thing, go and do that, and then move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think of the eat the frog concept of doing like the most difficult thing at the start? Is that something that you guys are proponents of?
I would always, because I know for myself, is for me, like, the procrastination will always kick in that I'm going to do the easy things first.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, kind of the thing I technically should have done that day is still on the plate because you put it off. So the moment you wake up, when you have all your stuff done, go hit that straight away, because it makes the rest of the day so much easier.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Usually I will start off with like one small thing that I can quickly tick off to get the ball rolling, and then it's the frog.
Because it's mainly just, it does so much damage to your brain. Like, if you say, let's say I'm going to wake up at 7 o'clock, then you wake up at 7 and you stay to 10, you stay to 7:15, you technically have already screwed your entire day over.
Yeah.
Because you gave your brain the satisfaction to dive in, to stay another 50 minutes, and the entire day then is gone.
Yeah.
Because the upper hand is on the wrong side.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's so detrimental that people don't even realize it, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, and of course, important, we discussed it earlier, I think, in other podcasts, but yes, your time management is also, time is the most valuable thing you have, one of the most.
Yeah.
Time will never come back. So don't waste your time on social media, for example, or just remove the apps. If you look every day on Instagram, just remove the app from your phone, for example. And I see it, and especially in Europe with LinkedIn, so many entrepreneurs are on LinkedIn, and if my VA, I never post on LinkedIn, my VA posts on LinkedIn, and I see the likes coming in from so much people in the first hours, and I think, why do you have time to like LinkedIn?
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
Waste of time.
Yeah.
But I think that's always something I would, like, in general, when it comes to social media, it's like, there's no point for you to go and follow your favorite influencer. Like, there is no value that is going to give to your life. Like, you know, follow legit your friends. And then what I always do is, like, you can go to someone, you can click on mute. You can legit mute posts and stories.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there for you to look at.
No, exactly.
And that will fix your entire problem.
Yeah. It's funny you should say that, actually, because when I sort of got started on Instagram, I'd do that. I would follow, like, influencers and people I'd look up to. And now it's more of a friends and network kind of platform. Like, people that I've connected with or I want to connect with, I will follow and engage with. But then, like, the big influencers, the people that I used to look up to or get motivation or inspiration from, like, I no longer follow.
Because it's like, you legit wake up and the first thing you do is you go and look at, I don't know, like, the goal Ronaldo scored or something, and you see him celebrating. It's like, okay, great, man.
What have I gained by watching this?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, yes. They also make it to entertain their following and to get you sticked on the platform.
Obviously, you know, hey, and like for us, you know, we're on the advertising side, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, yeah, it's a little bit two-sided with us saying this. But, you know, like I always say, you need to use social media and don't let it use you. There's a very important thing between there.
For me, social media, just a business thing.
100%.
Yes, and of course, friends are following me, but I'm not super active on social media. And I think, yeah, it's nice for to have the business, to run the ads, to get some exposure online, but not and not someone who at the lunch checking Instagram or something. No.
No. I think it's funny because obviously all three of us are in the social media space, and all three of us have the same opinion that it's not actually good to be on social media for that long. You know, we obviously use it purely to advertise other people's businesses or to gain exposure, but social media at its core will waste a lot of your time if you get sucked into it. And I think that's also what causes a lot of stress, because if you're, let's say you have like 12 hours a day to work on a business, and 4 or 5 of those hours even you're spent scrolling social media, you know, whether that is educational content or motivational content or not, it's still the same thing. You're still wasting away the hours that you could have been using working on the business and actually producing, you know, income
and
for the business.
Even more so, subconsciously, you always go and compare to the other person you're looking at, and you're going to get envy because you're not where they are.
Exactly.
And the problem with all the platforms, they are so well developed that you get stuck in the app. Or,
of course,
for example, I think YouTube is maybe the most easy example. Because if you watch one video, sometimes I need to search something. I need to how a tool works. And of course, you can read it, but sometimes the video is faster.
Yeah.
And I don't pay for YouTube because I want to see the ads. I want to see what's happening.
The
first 15 seconds already wasted on ads.
Yeah.
And then there's the YouTube video, always too long. Right? Most instructional videos.
Always at least 10 minutes because then you get the maximum CPM.
So the quality is always not perfect. And then, the next video come up and then you see the new book of Alex Ramosi and then you watch, I'm 1.5 hour gone on YouTube just clicking some videos.
Yeah.
So that's always, that's my only social media trap where I sometimes fall in. Now, and what I'm now doing, if I Google for a solution, I skip the YouTube videos because I know
if I
go to the YouTube video, it takes too long.
Yeah. But that's when you build that into your brain, like kind of the trigger, how you can prevent it. And obviously, like, no one is going to be perfect. It's impossible to resist all the temptation in this world. Because like ultimately, the economy nowadays is built on temptation. Like that's where, like, the government from the top, they, you know, that's how our entire environment works. If you go to the supermarket and you look on the level of your eyes, it's always the most expensive stuff. The cheapest stuff is always at the bottom. You know, it's like, it's just how everything is designed.
Yes, maybe it's the last question for this podcast. What is where do you get stressed from, Erwin?
I don't know. It's like I get stressed when I'm not stressed.
Okay.
When I wake up.
That's a cable, man.
No, like for real. If I would wake up, I still have like sometimes on Saturday or Sunday, I would wake up, I have all my stuff done, and I don't have an email, or I don't have anyone messaging me on Slack, I get anxious.
Oh,
because
it's too quiet.
Because it's too quiet.
Yeah.
And then that somehow gives me a kick off the butt, and then I'll grind for 6-7 hours. And I always get the weirdest ideas. Yeah. It sounds weird to say, but that's really what stresses me out, if it's quiet.
That's interesting, man. I think for me, like, stress stems from ambition. So like, I think all three of us here, like, without this being like a weird flex, I think if we look at our businesses now, we could easily just cruise if we wanted to. Like, we don't necessarily need to have that next new business, that next new project, the next step in our business. Obviously we do it because at its core, we're all business builders, you know, we enjoy the process, but we don't really need to do that financially. But by actually putting yourself in a, because we're all ambitious, because we're putting ourselves in the arena again to get to that next level, it causes stress. But I think stress is not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's actually a good thing because it keeps you alert, it keeps you ready for to grow when that next step comes. Yeah.
Yeah, I get always stressed from my iPhone updates. and then I think, oh, I'm never going to wake up again. Now what? No, it's mostly, sometimes it's really the updates from a computer. I think, okay, now if it's not crashing, then I'm screwed. And but I also want no security issues, so I always update. So that's
I'm the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And so sometimes time management, it's too many things, or and what especially if yes, customers came in at the last moment for some changes, and they think, okay, the goal was to finish this workday, and now new things coming in. That gives them sometimes stress. Okay, I want to do it the best way for the customer, but always want to do my own my free time thing, my family thing. That's sometimes what I think, okay, that's difficult. And then finding the right mix from, okay, how do you serve your customer best? And also respect your own time management. That's sometimes my biggest stress. Yeah. I think, okay, now there's an email coming in or Slack message or WhatsApp, or iMessage, whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I need to answer this now. Yeah, well, then it's maybe it's sort of solved.
Yeah.
But also get new questions. So always finding the right balance in how fast do you respond. And if you respond too fast, you get sometimes a slow chat, but it was also time consuming. So that's sometimes what I'm also looking for. Okay, what's not the best way to get this done?
Yeah, because how do you balance that?
Exactly.
What I try to do is sometimes I see a notification coming in, and sometimes I know the answer right away. And for my customers, it's maybe not nice to hear this, but I wait for mostly 15 minutes before I answer, because I want to prevent the slow chat. What I see, and a nice example last week, I didn't do that, so I answered directly, and they changed their thing based on my discussion 3 times. So I was wasting 1 hour on chat and doing some work for them.
Yeah.
And then the end result was, okay, maybe you don't do it at all. And I was thinking, okay.
After all that.
It was a big lesson for me. The customer had an idea, just sent it to me. I responded within a minute.
Yeah.
But if I maybe waited 15 minutes, the customer already realized by themselves, okay, maybe it was not a good plan.
No, exactly. It's interesting you should say that, though, because if I, let's say I'm looking at a new software and I have a question, I'll message support. Usually they'll say, okay, we'll email you or we'll get back to you within 24 hours. So after that, I get that message, I'll then go on Google and try and figure it out myself. 9 times out of 10, I will find a way, either a YouTube video or you know, someone's put up a blog post or anything like that. So then that whole conversation source becomes obsolete. You no longer need to have that conversation with support. And it's you're kind of doing the same thing, but then on the other side of the spectrum, you're giving your clients the opportunity to figure it out by themselves, so you don't necessarily need to be, you know, the one giving the answer.
But that's like, if you think about it, it's interesting that then the standard somehow in business has become that you respond instantly.
Yeah.
But if you go to that business themselves and you try to reach customer support,
it's not instant.
It's not instant.
No.
Which is pretty interesting.
Yes, and I also, someone told me, I don't know what it was, but he said, okay, sometimes you can better leave an email waiting for a few days before answering it. Sometimes it will answer itself.
Yeah,
and that's
it's
also
true.
And that's what I do. And that's sometimes maybe not fair, but because I think, okay, sometimes you get questions and I think, okay, yeah. Maybe I will leave it a day and then I email them back as still your question. Sometimes I do because I think, okay, this is so complex thing that they ask me. I think, okay, do you really want this?
Yeah.
And I always try to answer that kind of emails with one sentence.
Yeah.
Because, and I always hope that people always send me also one sentence emails. Keep it as short as possible.
Straight to the point.
Just make it instant. Yeah.
Make it instant, make it easy to do.
Yeah.
Not always possible, but yeah, that's the goal. And what I said about the 15 minutes, it doesn't mean that they answer every notification within 15 minutes, but just if I'm seeing it coming in, and sometimes I start typing, and okay, wait. There's no way there's a hurry in my agency that it needs to be fixed in within 15 minutes.
No. That's not like their business is going to explode if you do not
reply
within 15 minutes.
No.
Yeah. It's interesting as well, because obviously now, so we've recently had our first child, so we've got a newborn at home.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so we already discussed this during lunch, right? I blocked my calendar off for a few weeks, so no client was able to basically call me or schedule in a Zoom meeting. I have continued with the business, but you know, alongside that, I'm not going to be on Zoom calls because it's hard to schedule in Zoom calls when you got this little crying alien, you know, in the house. So a lot of clients still tried to book in a call. They say, hey, you know, tried to book in a call, but the next opportunity available is like the 3rd of the next month. I'm like, well, yeah, that's the next time I'm actually available for calls. But if you want to, you know, speak sooner, just send me a message on Slack and then I'll get to it, or I'll send you a Loom video. And apart from one client, all my clients sort of accepted that. And I realized that a lot of these meetings that they tried to schedule in, or a lot of these questions that they had, sort of resolved themselves, either by them realizing, okay, he's not immediately available, I'll try and figure it out, or just by them sending the message in the chat and then let me answer when I had the opportunity to.
Yes, I think that's also very important. That's also because it's we started with stress and then we moved from to time management. But and I deleted almost all our phone numbers. We our agency doesn't have any phone number anymore. Of course, we have a direct cell phones for some clients really like to call us, but we also explain them that yes, doing a call is really it's getting in. You need to answer at that moment. So we always make it a text message or just an email. And
but I think it's also like a little bit maybe respect to a certain extent, because like I would, depending on the relationship, of course you have with them, but the majority I would never call unless I know they accept it. Like I would have asked them beforehand, like, hey, if stuff like this happens, are you fine with me calling you or do you prefer this?
Yeah.
But it's like if someone doesn't ask me that, then boom, they keep blaming me and emailing me and calling me. Like, you know, it just becomes annoying and also disrespectful. And I think that kind of comes to the point there is like, I think it's also culture a bit, because I think it's more for the Netherlands.
Yeah.
It seems to be more of a Dutch thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like somehow, boom, they need to call, which is fine, obviously, if you clarify with the other person, like, hey, yeah, that is fine, you know, but sure, you can call me, etc. But if you just, boom, straight away go in and start blaring people, like, it's a little bit weird, you know?
Yeah. Yes, and what we also found out, because when we make phone calls harder for our customers, that we what I say with when they get a message and we give them at least 15 minutes to think about it before we answer, if you make phone calls harder, they also never call, because they also, okay, I call for this one, maybe I can solve it myself. And that's the reason that we face where they have phone, the direct phone system. We have, of course, we have direct chat, and there are many ways to reach to us, but the phone is the most disturbing thing.
Exactly,
100%.
And I think that's where a nice thing would be, because we talk, you know, about, hey, blocking notifications, etc. There's one thing I hate is if someone huddles you on Slack. Like, I've tried to turn it off. There's no option for it. So if there's anyone listening to this who knows how you can physically turn off that someone can huddle you on Slack, please message me.
Yes. I have the same. Please. Yes, I have the same with in Europe. It's WhatsApp. WhatsApp really known to use. And I really don't like WhatsApp calls. I almost never answer them, because now with the new iOS update, you have the official voicemail. So if people start talking in your voicemail, you can see what they're saying and you can actually answer the call doing like the old fashioned voicemail from your iPhone.
I can clarify this, because when I was in Mallorca with him, if I would voice call him with WhatsApp, the dude would just leave me on read. But if I call him through iMessage, it's instant.
Yes.
That's jokes.
And that's the yes. I really like the iPhone ecosystem because it works nice, but if someone's using Facebook Messenger to call you or Instagram DMs, it's so many sources of, and that gets also some stress. Then they get some, okay, and where's that agreement we made it's difficult sometimes, all the sources of incoming communication.
Yeah, I think probably that's why. I think great way we can conclude it. I think just definitely recommend everyone, you know, hey, find a way to truly teach yourself, like, how do I plan time?
Yeah.
And I think I think with stress as well, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, that voice battle that happens in your head. It's like, ask yourself like the question, okay, why am I stressed about this? Like, ultimately, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, they need to realize, like, what is the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Like, in all honesty.
Yeah. There's that diagram, right? Like, are you worried? Yes. Can you control it? No. Then don't be worried. Everything basically leads down to don't be worried.
Exactly.
But it's like the, you know, if this, then that. Mm-hmm. And it's true, right? Like, if you can control the outcome or if you can control the situation, then by putting it off, you're just causing yourself more stress. If you tackle it right away, you know, you can resolve the stress. But if it's uncontrollable, then that's okay to just say, okay, you know, that it is what it is.
And then let it go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.